There you go. You mentioned the Texas prison rodeo. And again, that, man, that was a big, big deal. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, because you always heard that the prisoners didn't mind getting injured because that meant they went to the hospital ward, which made it an easier gig for them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, I mean, really, really put their bodies on the line to go out there. And I forget, there was one event where I believe there was a tobacco pouch that was tied to the back of a steer, and you had to go grab that off the steer and take it to a judge or something like that, and you won a cash prize or something like that. And again, I know it's a different time, but I don't know what the arena held, but there were thousands and thousands of people there on the weekends when they had that. And I wonder what John Wayne did. I guess he just got in a car and rode around the arena.
Probably.
It's not like he got up and sang or anything.
No, I don't think they wanted him to do that.
Probably not. But, wow, the Huntsville Prison Rodeo. They used to buy advertising over here on this little radio.
Really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, so as we from time to time talk about first world problems, mm-hmm. meaning things that we grouse about that other people really wouldn't even think about in other parts of the world. I think you were commenting today that, was it yesterday? Was the 1 year anniversary?
Actually, it'll be this Friday.
Oh, okay.
Assuming that nothing happens between now and this Friday, India will celebrate an entire year of no new cases of polio.
Okay.
Wow.
This is 2012, right?
This
is 2012.
I'm pretty sure Dr. Salk got the vaccine about 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost.
So. Hello.
I'll have you know, one of John Wayne's first roles was as a singing cowboy by the fireside. He was badly dubbed, but he was a singing cowboy.
Thank you. Had no idea. Glad the fact that he went on to do other things. So with that in mind, we bring you First World Problems because everyone has their favorite part of favorite foods. Think, if you will, about the Muffin Top episode from Seinfeld.
Ah, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Muffin Tops.
Then there are people.
Now it has a whole new meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there are people. Well, and again, did Larry David really think this would become a phenomenon? But it has. I mean, there are companies out there in big cities that just sell the tops of the muffins.
Oh, you can buy pans, baking pans that are just for muffin tops.
I mean, how silly.
Well, and what I was saying is it has a whole new meaning related
to people who probably eat too many of them, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Women wearing jeans that, you know, they probably shouldn't wear.
Yeah. So. Increasingly, food fanatics are finding each other online and thus going to great lengths to find their favorite food. There is, in fact, a Facebook page that will focus on favorite food parts, like Oreo Company needs to bottle the middles and sell it.
Yeah, just so you can just sit there and eat it.
Well, and
I was
going to
say, what do you just want a spoon?
Yep. More than 1,000 people liked the page, okay? And then, I love saving the marshmallows in my Lucky Charms cereal to eat at the end. And there's one guy, his name is Nathan Ratslaw, 37 years old, an entrepreneur from Montana. For years, he tried to find those marshmallows that he would get in his Lucky Charms cereal. He tried to come up with a recipe. He couldn't. And so after looking for companies in China, Mexico, and the Netherlands, he finally found one that could make the cereal marshmallows for him, those little mini marshmallows like you see in Lucky Charms.
Mm.
Downside, he had to buy 1,000 pounds of marshmallows. That's a semi-truck full. But he did, and now he sells those for people who like them. And there was a lady from Delray, California, who said she watched her son try to eat his cereal, but it would get soggy because, of course, the stuff is sitting in milk.
Mm-hmm.
And this bowl has a little edge around it, a secondary edge, so you can take the cereal out and put it in the upper ring so that it doesn't get soggy while sitting in milk. Did I mention first world problems?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to brownies, boys, you brownie eaters?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like an everyday thing.
Okay.
But
edges or middle?
Middle.
Okay. Tom, edges or middle?
I'm not a communist.
Oh, I You mean what I like best?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the whole brownie.
Okay, but you see, but,
I guess the edges, because they're a little crispier.
Okay, yeah. Thus another problem.
Yeah.
Who could take that
actually, that's perfect, because that way Tom and I would be the perfect.
Sure, right.
We'd get along swimmingly over a pan of brownies.
Comes now the Edge Brownie Pan for only $34.95. It kind of looks like a maze, and every piece. There is no mid brownie.
A little crunch.
Every piece has a crunch on it.
Wow. See, I like the crunch.
The pan started in 2006. They sold $2 million worth of them last year. And how about this? How about the pizza, the donut pizza pan? It increases your crust to toppings ratio with a hole in the middle. Huh? And then finally, the sprainer. That's right. It's the sprainer. It'd be a spoon that has a strainer so that you can lift the cereal out and the milk drips out.
Oh.
First world problems. I saw this next story and thought of you, Chase.
Okay.
This is the New York Philharmonic performing this past Tuesday at Avery Fisher Hall. They're playing Mahler's Ninth Symphony, and the fourth movement of that, as we all know, is Adagio, which is
told you
quiet, okay? Quiet, slow, restrained. That's when the iPhone with the marimba ringtone went off.
Oh, no. Here, you want to hear what that sounds like?
Yeah, if you've got it, sure. Yeah,
just one second.
Here we go. Okay, we're in Mahler's Ninth, okay? 25-minute movement of a 90-minute symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And right there on the front row, we hear...
You hear this.
Okay, here we go. Not once, not twice, but three times. The conductor of the New York Philharmonic, Alan Gilbert, became so annoyed he stopped the orchestra in mid-bar.
Good for him.
Thank you. That's okay. He turned toward the offender, who was sitting on the front row, and said, "Are you finished?" The man didn't respond. So he said, "Fine, we'll wait."
Ooh. Delicious.
A couple of people shouted to have the guy kicked out, but the audience pretty much just restrained themselves and let the conductor handle the situation. So then the conductor said, "Did you turn it off?" The man nodded. "And it won't go off again?" he asked, and the man shook his head. Then Gilbert addressed the audience and said, "I apologize. Usually when there's a disturbance like this, it's best to ignore it because addressing it sometimes worsens the disturbance itself, but this was so egregious, I could not allow it. We will start again." Audience cheered, turned to the orchestra. He said, "Number 118. They picked up the fourth movement where they had stopped. No other phones went off.
I bet not.
What's interesting is the guy was not kicked out of the theater. When the show was over, a standing ovation except for two people, the guy on the front row and his companion. But, I mean, you talk about calling them out.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I mean, I like the idea. Because, after all, we should, and, you know, you generally you are asked or reminded to do that. But, and again, on the front row, so obviously easy to pick out. So that's the New York Philharmonic, and I thought of you. I knew that, you know, had you been there, you'd have... I don't know.
I want to cut them a check.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, you'd had a can of potted meat and thrown it at him.
Yes.
You can drive a European.